Welcome to my stories and journeys in the old county of Gwent. Today feels like a purposeful day. The October change is well underway and the leaves are becoming russet and orange and gold on a very still morning in the Sirhawi Valley. Now, there was a little delay to my early morning start because of the thick October mist, but it only paused my sense of purpose slightly because there was a lot I wanted to do, beginning with a visit to St. Sanan's Well. Do you remember Sanan the Woodman in the story Cath Little told when we were down in Llanrymney? Well, this is the same Sanan, only woven slightly differently. Scant details of St. Sanan's life tell us that he may have been one of the travelling Irish saints in the 5th century. In the story Cath told, the salmon, who were Sanan's transformed children, swam down the Rumney River to the sea. But we've already seen that the Rumney and the Sirhawi run quite close together, and St. Sanan's Well is located just below one of the narrowest points between the two rivers, kind of a pinch point. So Sanan the Woodman's terrain, I think, must have straddled both valleys. His well is right in the middle between the two and just below Bedwellty. If you take the steep and windy way up from Rock or the slightly gentle way up from Argoid, you'll come to the little round well, which stands alone in a grassy space, which has been enclosed, so the marker on the gate says, by the church in Wales. Walls of the well itself have been neatly rebuilt, and there are two little wooden benches placed nearby on the grass to sit and contemplate. And the walls of the well and the water within are golden with fallen leaves, and the water feels quite warm to my touch. It really is a lovely, quiet little place, and there's a row of oak and beech and holly and hazel trees sheltering the well and its little garden and separating it from a brand new, smart, gated housing development next door. There's lots of house building going on around here at present, but here the well sits quietly and unperturbed. And I sit quietly too, on the little wooden bench, and wonder about Sanan the Woodsman, and Sanan the Saint, and Sanan who nobody seems to know much about, really. If you leave the well garden and carry on up the hill, you'll soon see the whitewashed tower, or more accurately, the cream-washed tower, really, of St. Sanan's Church at the top of the hill. It's surrounded by a huge, wild graveyard, but the church itself is very locked. Anyhow, I carried on past the church and on up onto the common, Comin Coedymoeth. And I'd only just crossed the cattle grid onto the common when I was approached by a very lovely, sleek horse. And I thought, well, it's just come up to say hello and check out whether I had a spare apple in my jacket pocket or something. Although, an hour or so later, when I was leaving the common, I saw the same horse with its head poking in through the open window of a police car parked in a lay-by. So I did wonder if maybe the horse was employed by Gwent Constabulary and was reporting back on any suspicious visitors. You never know. Anyway, I didn't do anything suspicious when I was up there, except look at the view, which is magnificent on all sides. And I walked for an hour or so, just looking at everywhere there was to look at in all directions. The only downside was that
Comyn Coedymoeth suffers from what many bits of common land in southeast Wales suffer from, which is littering. Mainly bottles and cans, which people driving on the road across the common just lob out of the window. And in the little lay-bys in particular, there are piles of litter. So I filled up one carrier bag within about, 5 yards, I suppose, from the first lay-by on the common. Now, usually when I'm out walking, I will pick up one token can or bottle if I've just got a small rucksack and I'm out walking for the day. But on this occasion, because I had some driving to do, I knew I could put at least a bag or so of litter in the boot of the car. But I wish people would just stop throwing litter on the ground. Anyway, eventually I returned to the motor car, as Fred Hando occasionally said, and did what you have to do if you're in the Bedwellty area and you want to go to Tredegar, as I did, which is drive all the way up to the head of the valley road, along a bit, and then back down again into the next valley along. Now, in this part of Gwent, and in the journeys that we're going to be making in the weeks to come, the earth, the land itself, and what has happened to it is never going to be far from my mind, I know. The vast extraction of coal, iron ore, limestone out of the body of the earth when the Industrial Revolution came to these valleys. And in the weeks to come, I do want to talk about those stories, the stories of the earth. I want to talk about the workers, including my own family, and the landowners. But first of all, and today, I want to hear the story of somebody who lives in the Skurva area of Tredegar. Her name is Kay Leverton, and she's an artist who moved to Tredegar 30 years or so ago and did something very particular in relation to the land, which I thought you might like to hear about. So I went to her house and asked her about it.
I think you're hinting at me digging a bloody big hole in the bottom of the garden. When we got here, I knew it was the garden that was the important bit, and I had to dig this kiva, which is a Native American term for a hole in the ground that you sit in ceremony for healing and also for giving back to the earth. And we bought this house because of the garden, not of the house. I didn't even look at the house. I went straight through and out the back door to see how much garden there was, and discovered it actually had the Sahawi River running at the back as well, and you could hear the water. I thought this would be a wonderful place to build a spiritual home kind of thing, to be in the earth and wrapped around by the earth. So that was how we started building this hole. Got the neighbours talking, I can tell you. From the level of the garden, it was about 7.5 feet deep. And I'm 5'5", but I could stretch my arms full out and still have a good foot on both sides. So that was sort of the width of it. And my husband helped tremendously. And so we made this sort of house within that circle of soil, wooden panels, which I painted a deep rose pink inside. And then the roof was a whole set of triangles over the top, and that was deep, deep blue. So when you went in, you could lie down on blankets and be in this pink, but you looked up and saw it just went up almost like to the sky. It felt like looking up to the sky.
Do you know why it was important to you that it was in the earth rather than just a garden house or a summer house that somebody else might think to build?
I suppose it felt like I was fulfilling some sort of promise. And I haven't thought about that for a long, long time. We were living in Cardiff then, and they were building the bay, and the traffic was appalling, and I said, we've got to move. And that's how we ended up in Tredegar. But my spiritual life was growing at the same time, so I thought, oh, I've got all this lovely garden. And once you were down the bottom of the garden in this kiva space, you were so far away from the road, all you could hear was the river, you know, the Sahui River running by. And I discovered, whilst I was doing this, that underneath our sitting room in the house, there was a tunnel that went directly under the house and out, and then down, further down the, came out somewhere down the banks. And they used to run coal trucks through this tunnel. One of the guys who oversaw our conversion of the house when we moved in, he told me all about them taking these trucks down there, and he'd walked. He said, there are miles of tunnels underneath Tredegar. No one knows anything about where all the coal pit wagons went. And I thought, that's just absolutely extraordinary. So, like, the kiva being in the ground was more or less getting onto the level of what had been going on before.
So this whole region is famed, really, for people coming and digging things out of it.
Yes.
Digging into the ground, yeah, and taking and scraping off the top.
Yeah.
That's what skurva means, isn't it? Mm. It was a scraping.
Scouring.
Scouring the coal from the top, that was the surface coal.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, you can see we're sitting in the dining room, and if you look at the garden actually starts up a set of steps. So it's a good 12, 15 feet above where we're sitting in the house. And so when you were down in the kiva, I guess you kind of, you've come back down to this level. I'm remembering this as we're talking. But I had this idea of the energy flowing from all over Tredegar around here. All the steelworks, the ironworks, all this stuff that's been taken out. All this soil that's on the garden is the scourings from those works. The whole of this row of cottages, they have gardens up the back. And that is all the spoil from when they dug the iron ore out. And there's a hearth, an original iron hearth down the road from here, only about half a mile, that where some of this stuff was smelted. But anyway, I thought all this stuff's been taken out. What can we put back? And that was why the kiva was used by me and lots of other people for healing, for just going there and sitting quietly and calling whatever energies I was capable of calling to feed back into the land, to make some recompense for everything that's been taken away.
I mean, it's an astonishing thing to do, really.
Everybody local thought I'd got, you know, those new people that have moved in, absolutely balmy, she's digging this bloody big hole in the garden. And what are they going to do with with that? But they've got used to us.
The kiva isn't in your garden anymore, so did it have a finite time to be there, or...?
It did, in that We had some terrible weather one winter. It was only wood when you, if you think about it. And basically, it was getting a bit dangerous to go in there. So we took it, I thought, well, we'll take that. We took all that down and we had a big bonfire on bonfire night and burnt it and prayed over it. And so there was, we were there back with a hole in the ground again. But I've planted it with about 15 different varieties of buddleias and things. So it is full of buddleia plants and a bird bath. And when the buddleia are in flower, the butterflies that are in our garden is just a sight to see. And we get lots of, we get lots of wildlife. We've had a pelican that has come, that's just flown up from the bay in Cardiff, followed the River Sahawi from, it joins up with the bit, it splits, one bit goes Cardiff, one bit goes Newport. And they fly up the river. And so we get these extraordinary birds that they, you know, we have herons wandering up and down in the river that you can watch. And then I turn around one day and there's one just walking around on the lawn. So it seems to draw nature. And when we arrived in Tredegar, it was a big surprise to both of us that we were actually contemplating buying this house, but it felt just so right. This was where I knew we had to be, and I knew that we were going to do, both my husband and myself, all sorts of interesting and wonderful things as a result of just being in this place. And so it has proved to be. I've developed my artwork, which is all about the natural world, from being too scared to show anything I did to anybody. For me, that is such a great joy.
Well, I wandered out into the garden with Kay, and lo and behold, a miracle of mushrooms. Russet brown fungi had sprung up all through the lawn, sprung up overnight, according to Kay, and they were circling around where the old kiva had been, all under the trees and the shrubs, and all through the garden. The fruit of the network below the ground. And this is the season for it, of course. And seeing all the fungi growing like that reminded me that I had one more visit that I needed to make. So I went back inside with Kay and we spent a while in her studio looking at her gorgeous artwork. And I'm going to put one of her images of a fox to go with this episode. The fox who makes a home under the ground seems appropriate. And then it was time to be on my way again. And as I drove away from Kay and Deck's house, just around the corner, I passed a plaque and a metal sculpture to the Chartist movement, which is another thing I haven't spoken about very much yet, but I feel I will. And the plaque is there because it's commemorating the site of the Chartist Lodge and also the site of a mass meeting in 1839. And a column of 5,000 to 6,000 people had assembled here to march on Newport with their 6 demands for political rights. And John Rees, or Jack the Fifer, who's depicted here in the metal sculpture, was one of their leaders. And though it seems strange to rush by without saying any more about that today, I know where I want to go, and I know where I want to finish the day. And I know that Rambler is a good way ahead of me. So on I go down the valley and leave the Chartist story for another day. and I'm making my way to Silent Valley Nature Reserve at Coom, just near Ebwy Vale. It's a place where the steelworkers used to come for a bit of quiet and peace from their noisy work. And apparently that's what gave it its name. Really, it's Coom Merddog, where the Little Merddog Brook runs. It's such a beautiful stream. And in autumn, this is one of the loveliest places to be. And I come here as much as anything for the beech trees, which are, well, they're the highest beech trees growing in Britain, and they're some of the most westerly growing beech trees in Europe. And they are utterly majestic and beautiful. They grow on the slopes of the reserve. Some of them are over 300 years old. So they remember a time pretty much before a lot of the noise and bustle arrived in the valley. And now in autumn, they're in their russet orange colours. And I have my favourite trees there, one or two in particular. And the day that started with a visit to St. Sannan's Well, for me, needs to end here, amongst a large circle of beeches, which together raise up their branches and form a dome, a leafy dome. And they've even made a natural archway with their own branches to enter this circle. And that's the place I go and lie down on the fallen leaves and the beech mast and look up at the leafy dome and feel safe and sound here amongst the beech trees. And for now, there's nothing more to be said, except thank you for keeping me company in my journeys and stories through the old county of Gwent. And I'll see you again on down the track.